The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
How many of you know we have seen Jesus? I follow him. Now, verse 17, then said one of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he said unto us? A little while and you shall not see me. And again, a little while and you shall see me because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he said? A little while. We cannot tell what he said. So they were confused. They were confused. Now, verse 19, Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto them, do you inquire among yourself of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again, a little while you shall see me, verse 20. Very, very I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall also. Answering in verse 20, it was the question they asked in verse 19. Right? What did they ask? What does he mean by a little while you shall see me? A little while you shall not see me because I go to the Father. So he began to answer. He said, you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned to joy. Verse 21. A woman when she's in travail had sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembered no more of anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Now verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow. But I will see you again. What is it that I will see you again? What is he talking about there? Huh? His resurrection, right? Are you getting the point? I will see you again. What will happen when I see you again? Your heart shall rejoice and your joy no man take it from you. Glory to God. One of the things that will characterize the rising of Jesus is joy. He says, when that time comes, you will rejoice and no man shall take your joy from you. So joy and rejoicing will come or came at Christ's resurrection. So rejoicing is what I'm teaching on this morning, is how we must respond to the fact of Christ's resurrection. He said, when you see me, you shall rejoice. Your heart shall rejoice. Your heart shall rejoice. Look at why our heart is going to rejoice. Go back to verse 21. Look at why our heart rejoices. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembered no more the outreach. So, when a woman is in labor, she's crying. When she gives birth, she's happy. So, the whole labor thing was to represent his death. Are you following me? So when he is dead, you say, told him you are going to cry. But when the baby comes, that is when he rises, he said, your heart shall rejoice. He said, your joy no man can take from you. Glory to God. Glory to God. So because he has risen, notice, we have joy that no man can take from us. Let me say it again. Because he has risen, we have joy. Such joy that no man can take from us. Say, I have joy. Once again. Once again. Once again. That's not everybody. Once again. I have joy. Glory to God. Joy that no man can take from me. And so, one of the things that he expected that will happen when he rises is that there will be joy. There will be rejoicing. There will be rejoicing. Let me say this. Even though it's run out of myself, one of the ways we respond to the facts of Christ's resurrection is what? To rejoice. When you hear that Jesus has risen, you respond by shouting and rejoicing. And rejoicing, as I always say, is not what you say, it's what you do. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just like sorrow is not what you say, it's what you do. Praise God. Praise God. You know, God blessed some people yesterday.
people that were Chelsea fans, God bless them, that they were in the program when the thing happened. So there was no space for sorrow. Praise God. God really favored them yesterday because they were in the program when the damage happened. Thank God for Razor Fact. He favored Chelsea fans. Thank God. If not, there would have been sorrow. Their joy would have been turned to sorrow yesterday. So I use that to say, when a football team loses, your football team, like when you are a Chelsea fan and you always lose, you know, when it happens like that, you are just sorrowful. You don't say, I'm sorrowful. You are just sorrowful. You get the point? This is an example. You shouldn't take it to heart. It's not like Man U doesn't lose too. So I'm just preserving myself for you people. I don't know how a club can be first at a time in the season and suddenly they're struggling to qualify for Champions League. Imagine. But that's by the way. Sorrow is a practical thing. Praise God. Joy is also practical. When your team wins, you don't sit down and say, I'm happy. When your team scores, especially when you guys don't usually win, and suddenly you now score and win. You understand? You are now excited. My point is, joy is not what they say, I'm happy. No. I'm happy can be like this. I'm joyful. When you say I'm joyful, you show it. So Jesus is saying, when that resurrection happens, he said, you shall rejoice and you'll have such a joy that no man can take from you. Say, I have joy. And no man can take that joy. Do you know why no man can take that joy? Because what caused the joy cannot be taken from you. What caused the joy? The resurrection, right? Because the resurrection cannot be reversed. The joy that came with it cannot be changed. Cannot be changed. Cannot be reversed. Cannot be reversed. And so, in Psalm 118 verse 22, Psalm 118 verse 22, you begin to see that. I'll show you a couple of Old Testament scriptures. Look, he said, the stone which the builders refused is become what? The chief cornerstone. What's this talking about? Huh? You don't know what this means? I'll show you. 1 Peter 2 verse 4. I'm coming back to this place. Let me just show you what this statement means. The stone the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Peter will quote it. Verse 4. 1 Peter 2 verse 4. Peter will quote it and say, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. This is talking about Jesus. Amen. He was rejected, but he became chief cornerstone. In Acts chapter 4 verse 10, Peter 2. We make reference to that verse. Okay? But be it known unto you, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Okay? In verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name. So, Jesus is that stone that the builders rejected. That has become the chief cornerstone, right? When did the builders reject him? When was he rejected? When they crucified him. Is that not true? Is that not true? When did he become chief cornerstone? When he rose from the dead. That's clear enough, right? So back to Psalm 118. So he says, the stone which the builders rejected is become the chief corner, the stone of the corner. Now, Verse 23. This is the Lord's doing. What is the Lord's doing? The stone the builders rejected becoming the chief. That is God Christ. So the resurrection of Jesus is the Lord's. So who rose Jesus from the dead? Who rose Jesus from the dead? God. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous. So, while you can use that for anything, when somebody gets it, he says the Lord's doing. It is primarily about Christ's resurrection. The Lord's doing was his resurrection. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is the Lord's doing. So, today, we are celebrating the Lord's doing. That is marvelous in our eyes. Now, notice what happens in verse 24 now. He says, this is the day... the Lord, which is the day? When? The day of that day is not Monday. Amen. The day that the Lord has made is the day that he did the marvelous thing. What is the marvelous thing he did? He rose us from the dead. So when is the Lord's day? The day the Lord has made. The day he rose Jesus from the dead. Are you still here? Are you still here? So what do we do on the day which the Lord has made? We will rejoice and be glad in it. Are you following me? So on the day that the Lord has made, we rejoice. So I tell you, friends, this is the day that the Lord has made. Not because today is Easter. Because the day of the resurrection did not end after he rose. Because he is still risen till now. Are you following me? So since that day he rose, that has always been the day that the Lord has made. So what do we do in the day of resurrection? We rejoice. And we are glad in it. Glory to God. So when you hear me say, this is the day that the Lord has made, I'm not referring to Monday. I'm not referring to Tuesday. I'm not referring to the fact that the day is bright. It's bright and fair. Oh, happy day. That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the fact that this is the day that Jesus is risen from the dead. On that day, what do? We rejoice. And be glad in it. We are glad. I am glad. I am glad. I am glad. Why are you glad? This is the day that the Lord has made. Glory to God. This is the Lord's doing. So when I see the Lord's doing, I am glad. Glory to God. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. So the resurrection is the day the Lord has made. Thus we rejoice. Can you remember what happened at the resurrection? Can you remember what happened that day? The day we, the Father and the Son, became. You remember now? So we rejoice in that day. Can you remember again what happened during the resurrection? The day the Spirit came to indwell us. So what did we do on that day? We rejoice. Can you remember what happened? On that day, sins we are paid for. What do? We rejoice. This is the day that the Lord has made. Glory to God. You see, I tell people, the amazing thing is, today is a beautiful day. Everybody is talking about Jesus, resurrection, forgiveness of sin. He paid for our sins just for today. Let today pass. From not Sunday, let us go to your village. Who is pursuing me? My wedding gown locates me. Kill them before they kill you. We discard everything about Christ's resurrection until Easter again. From Holy Week. That's what he was saying. This is Holy Week. So don't hurt anybody. Don't annoy anybody. So after Holy Week, you can just go back to your life. Praise God. Pray. The resurrection message is not an Easter message. It is the message of Christianity. Glory to God. This is the thing that the Lord has made. The Lord has done great things for us. Amen. So when we recount all these things that the Lord has made, what do? We rejoice. Psalm 16 verse 10. Let me show you. Psalm 16 verse 10. He said, for thou will not leave my soul in hell. Neither will thou allow thy holy one to see corruption. What's this about? What is about? Christ's resurrection. You don't know, I will show you. Verse 11. I will show you shortly. Thou will show me the path of life. Go to Acts of the Apostles chapter 2 verse 24. Peter will quote that place we just read now. That thou will not allow my soul to be left in hell. So Peter will quote it. He said, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death. He's talking about Jesus, right? Because it was not possible that he should be holding of it, okay? For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand that I should not be moved, okay? Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see. Verse 28, thou hast made known to me. So you see, Jesus, Peter quotes this thing in reference to Christ's resurrection. So he tells that when David was saying that thing, David was prophesying. Do you understand the point? So go back to that Psalm 16 verse 10. So thou will not allow that my soul, thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou allow the Holy One to see corruption. What this means is that God will raise Jesus from the dead. That is simple interpretation, right? God will raise Jesus from the dead. That is a simple thing. Now, look at what happened in verse 11. Hallelujah. Thou will show me the path of life in thy presence. After he raises him from the dead, in thy presence, what will be found there? Fullness of joy. You know, we've read this thinking that the presence of God is church. He said, this is the presence of God. So, there is fullness of joy. This is a sanctuary, not a mortuary. Rhymes. Rhymes, amen. Amen. The omnipresent is presently present to present present to all who are present in his presence. He said, that's rhema, man. Well, the presence of God is not a place. Remember what I used there, right? Where is God's presence? In you. The believer is God's presence. Should I say it again? The believer is... I think that's very easy to see. I explained that yesterday, right? Where is my presence? This is my presence, right? Where I am. So the presence of a man is where the man is. If I say, come to my presence by 2 p.m., what do I mean? Come to where I am. Let me ask you a question. If I'm not in my house by 2 p.m. and I am here, where is my presence? Where I am now, amen? So where is God's presence? Where he is now? Where is he now? In me. It's not in a building, it's in a man. So in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. Are you getting the point? So in me is fullness of joy. Joy is in this man, oh. Not small joy, fullness of joy. Why? He has risen from the dead. Why is there fullness of joy in his presence? Because he will not allow his Holy One to see corruption. He will not leave him in the grave. Because of that, there is fullness of joy in his presence. Hallelujah. Are you getting the point? And in thy, at thy right hand, where is his right hand again? His place of authority. Here we are all seated, right? What is found there? Pleasures forevermore. Glory to God. I have joy. Joy is in this man. Fullness of joy. Now sometimes when people see us laugh, rejoice, they say, they're pretending. They're making it up. I don't make up joy. I have fullness of it. I don't pretend that I am happy. I have fullness of joy. I'm joyfully joyful. You get it? I have fullness of joy because this is the presence of God. In thy presence, there is fullness. You know, the Bible tells us in John 14, verse 20. He said, at that day, you shall know. Do you remember? That I am in the Father, you are in me, I am in you. So the Father, the Son, and the believer have come into a union. So the presence of God is in that union. Are you getting the point? So the resurrection made it possible for God to come into me and for me to come into God. So it made it possible that the presence of God is in this man. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm the presence of God. And I have fullness of joy. Pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. Glory to God. That is joy here. So you see, that is why when we come to church, when we hear, we are righteous in Christ, you don't see us saying, yeah. You see people shouting. You see people running. You say, why are they making it up? Why? These guys are not organized. These guys are not packaged. I don't like them. I don't like kind of church. I like a church where there is a sense of decorum. No.
Rejoicing is not what you say, it's what you do. So when we hear that he has not let his holy one stay or see corruption, what happens already? Immediately that happens, in the presence of God, fullness of joy begins to swell up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why I tell you, when I'll say this, no believer is supposed to be depressed. You get the point? This thing people call depression, it is lack of understanding. In you is joy. In you is joy. Notice what is causing the joy. What's causing the joy? The resurrection, right? That means that the joy is constant, because what causes it is constant. Come on. So why will you allow things that are temporary to keep you down? Or you don't know that that sickness is temporary? You don't know that the fact that you failed the exam is still temporary? You don't realize that the fact that someone died, that feeling will still pass away. I'm telling you. Glory to God. The painful one are people that are depressed because somebody left them. Say, that guy broke my heart and you're depressed. Listen, if somebody breaks your heart, it's okay to feel bad. At the moment, you are human, okay? Immediately after you finish feeling bad, and finish fast. Be fast about that. When some of my daughters or sons come to me, I say, cry. It's okay to cry, amen? Then just cry. I'm just there watching. Cry. Say, you don't know how I feel. I say, it's okay. It's okay. After you're done crying, I say, it's okay. You've cried enough. You don't let some things keep you down. There is fullness of joy in this man. Glory to God. Let me show you something. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. 1 Peter 1 verse 3. Glory. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from death. So by Jesus' resurrection, what happened? We were given birth to. That's being born again. Amen. So the resurrection is the womb that brought us forth. Amen. Do you get the point? So by that resurrection, so he said, blessed be God for that. Verse 4. Watch. Verse 4. To an inheritance. We are born to an inheritance. Amen. Incorruptible. Undefiled. That fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for who? For you. Glory to God. Watch. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Listen, he said that an inheritance kept in heaven for you. But you are kept by the power of God to make sure that you receive it. Put up like amplified of verse 4. Verse 4. Just okay. Watch. Born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change and decay, imperishable, unsullied, and unfading, reserved in heaven for you. For you. Watch what happens in verse 5 now. Who are being guarded, garrisoned by God's power through your faith. So through your faith, God is guarding you to make sure that you receive that thing. That's why I told you yesterday, you can't miss heaven. Did you get what I said? You can't. You see, you are kept by the power of God till you fully inherit that salvation. So it says God is keeping you by his own power. If God said he's keeping you, God, you are kept. Amen? When people doubt their salvation or feel they can lose their salvation, they don't know they are doubting the power of God. You are saying God is not able to keep you. So you want to keep yourself. Amen. Whereas ordinary money they gave you to keep, you've lost it. And you want to keep your salvation. Well, think about it. Small, small things they say you should keep, you've lost it. Where's your phone? You've lost everything. And you want to keep your salvation. He said you are kept by the power of God through faith. So all you have to contribute is your faith. And that is what you've done. Amen. God's power will now keep you and make sure that you receive that inheritance. Glory to God. Now, why am I saying all of this? Verse 6. Verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Where is the wherein? In that thing that has happened. Amen. In the fact of our salvation, we greatly rejoice. He said, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. He said, even now, for a season, you might have heaviness. But in this fact, we greatly rejoice. So when we talk about the fact of our salvation, how do we respond to it? Has God saved you? How do you respond to it? He says, sir, what if I don't feel like laughing? Nobody cares about your feeling. Your feeling cannot change what has happened. So whether you feel it or not, there is fullness of joy in you. Do you remember what we explained yesterday? Where is joy is within. Just like the spirit is within, right? How do we flow in the spirit? We bring it upon. Do you remember? Joy is within me, right? So when I laugh in the Holy Ghost, I'm not getting joy into me. I am releasing joy that is already stored up in my inside. I don't get the point. So when I tell you Jesus has saved you from sin, don't say amen. No. Amen is that you are saying let it be so. No, you don't need to pray. It has happened. So what do? You laugh. It's amazing that many of us can rejoice over carnal things. But when it comes to that, I don't feel it. Amen. You can rejoice over any nonsense, but if that, I don't feel it. I don't feel like I'm not even in the mood today. I don't care about your mood. What has happened is unchangeable. So you should always be in the mood for it. You know, sometimes when things go wrong around you in your house, when you remember the resurrection, start laughing. Because something has gone wrong, obviously, on the outside. But there is one constant truth wherein we greatly rejoice. Are you getting the point? So you should learn to laugh some more. What makes that laughter special is not because you are laughing it in a very packaged way. What makes it special is the reason for the laughter. The word we call rejoice is the word agalio. You know, I was studying that word recently again. That word actually, it means to spin for joy. Do you get the point? So, when we say, wherein we greatly rejoice, it's not mean where we greatly say. It is where we greatly, hey! That is what is rejoicing. You are wherein we greatly. When the Bible says we greatly rejoice, it means we can also rejoice more. Yeah, I get the point. But he said, in these facts, what do? We greatly rejoice. Has God saved you? Has God forgiven you? Has he paid for your sins? Has he paid for your sins? Has he made you one with him? Has he given you the spirit? What do? Ha ha ha! Glory! Hallelujah! You know, that's why when we were planning it so fast, I told them, they got a roll of horse like this. I said, we're not going to use this one. Today is just the last day, that's why. Because in church, we should have space to somersault if need be. Glory to God. Wherein we greatly rejoice. Even though now there might be temptations, but we look beyond the temptations and we rejoice. Today somebody might be dead. Today somebody, you might be suffering. You might not have all the money, but there is something you have. The fact of resurrection has filled us with fullness of joy. So even if you're a Chelsea fan, you can greatly rejoice. Yeah, if you're a Chelsea fan, rejoice. Because even though your team has lost and might lose again, Jesus has risen from the dead. Glory to God, though. No, I'm saying that to say that when things are going wrong around you, learn to look beyond. You know, it's amazing that football, as you're joking with it, can really make people really, really sad. It's amazing. They can really make people really, really, and some ladies don't understand it. How a guy can just be down because of football. It's amazing. But then, when we are talking about something that is eternal, and the person is saying, I don't feel like. When you are not rejoicing in the Holy Ghost enough, one thing is certain. Either you are not saved, or you don't know what happened to you. If you understand what happened to you, you will rejoice. You will rejoice. Look at, you know, Jesus finds, used to look for trouble at times. John 8 verse 56. You know, I love how Jesus talks. Sometimes when you are among some people, just talk like Jesus and watch. John 8 56. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. See the next verse. See what I asked him. Then said his son to him, thou art not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? You know, you were thinking Jesus was going to calm down. Jesus, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was. That's by the way, but I love Jesus. Praise God. But he said he rejoiced. So Abraham rejoiced to see the death of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? He rejoiced. So there was something Abraham saw about the days of Jesus. And Abraham even started dancing for joy. What is it we saw? I will show you. Romans 4 verse 1. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Romans 4 verse 1. What shall we say then that our father Abraham has presented to the flesh as one? So we are about to see what Abraham saw. Amen. Paul is asking, what is it that Abraham saw? What did he find? For if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. What said the scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Okay? Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned but of grace, but of debt. Verse 5. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So what did Abraham see? Justification by faith. Righteousness by faith. So Abraham saw ahead of time. You know, that's what the Bible said in Genesis 15 verse 6. The Bible said he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's what he saw. So Abraham saw that Jesus is going to come and justify men. I've taught you from this. I mentioned this last year, right? You remember? He saw it. So Abraham believed God in a promissory note. Let me tell you what that statement means. Abraham believed what Jesus will do. Now we believe what Jesus has done. So in believing what Jesus will do, what did Abraham do? He rejoiced. So if believing what Jesus will do can cause a man jump and dance and shout and scream for joy, then hearing what Jesus has done to you, do you realize that Abraham himself was not a recipient of what Jesus did as at that time? That's what Hebrews 11 tells us. That they were looking forward to it, but they died without receiving it. But they died in faith, in hope. That's why the hope, the faith the Old Testament saints had and our faith, they're not the same thing. Amen? Amen. That's why Hebrews 11 verse 1 is not a definition of faith. Say amen. When the Bible said faith is the assurance of things not seen. Look at it. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. The faith, this was describing the faith of the Old Testament. You notice that from verse 2, he started listing all the Old Testament people. Do you observe? Noah, Abraham, down. That was their faith. It was the evidence of things not seen. They were believing for things they had not seen. Our faith is not the evidence of things not seen. We have seen our own. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Are you getting me? So their faith was something they were holding on to, even though where they were looking for what has not happened. But their faith was the evidence, the title deed of what was yet to come. Are you getting what I'm saying? The faith we have is not the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. We have seen it. It has happened. So we do not believe for what will happen in the future. We believe what has happened. So what do? We rejoice. So Abraham, in believing what will happen, rejoiced. Look at Luke 10. Luke 10 verse 20. Let me show you. I'm going to wind down shortly. Luke 10 verse 20. Glory, glory, glory. Notwithstanding, Jesus was talking to the disciples. They came back and they were saying that demons were subject to them. They cast out devils. Jesus said, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the Spirit has judged unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Because your names are written in heaven. So why should we dance for joy? Huh? My name is in heaven. Wow. Glory to God. Glory to God. The church should be a place of rejoicing. It shouldn't be a place. You know, moodiness does not mean that Holy Ghost is present. You get the point? But when the keyboard just comes and plays strings and but just all that, see, just don't say much. The Spirit is in it. That doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is present. The Spirit is seen more in our joy than in our sorrow. You don't get it? I'm telling you. When you laugh in the Holy Ghost, because your names are written in heaven. Are your names written in heaven? Are you sure? Are you sure? So what do? My name is written in heaven. You see, in Christ there is no temperament. Did you hear what I said? He says that the reason you like rejoicing like that is because you are outgoing. You are an extrovert. You don't know me. There is no temperament. There is no phlegmatic here. No mood swing here. No melancholy here. Those things are things you believed. There is one temperament that we have. That is joy. Do you understand me? You know, this is example. Sometimes you come to the Holy Ghost meetings, you see one girl that is so proper on her heels. She's just so proper. You now see her in the Holy Ghost meeting. She's like this. Her wig falls off. She doesn't. Do you know? But then when you see the girl in the bank or somewhere, she's like, please, I don't do that. I don't take that. Or when we come in here, nobody's proper. Because we are not, you know, that things that happen to you. You don't act in it. Okay, let me use football again. Has your team ever played Champions League final? Now, have they ever won? Only Man City cannot experience this, but I pray they experience it this season. But then, but you see, imagine a Champions League final. And you guys are drawing 93 minutes. And somebody scores a goal. You lose your sense of decorum. You may not understand if you're a lady. You see what will happen. Some will enter under the seat. Some will somersault. What is happening? Some just happen right now. So that kind of thing. You don't say. No, you can't even be packaged. The reason why the lady might not rejoice like you. She doesn't even understand what happened. Is it not just a goal? And I'm even thinking about it now. What, is it not just a goal? That is not just a goal, though. That thing is 16 goals in one. But because you know what has happened, you cannot just be there saying, oh, that guy can play. No. Praise God. You run. You kick the wire. You kick the TV. Do you know, what has happened? That's why I tell people, when the level of your rejoicing, to an extent, shows how much you understand redemption. Yeah, that's the truth. When people say Jesus has died for our sin, and you just say, yeah, that is just how you understand it. The same way the level of your rejoicing where the goal is called, is dependent on how much you understand that goal. Every goal means different things. Some goal means 3 points. You get the point? Some mean you've won the trophy. What you understand by the goat, that's the same way. When we say Christ has risen, your names are written in heaven. If you know what this means, it means it cannot be erased again. You know, this is amazing. Do you know when Jesus was telling them this thing? He has not even died by then. Did you get it? So even before he died and paid for sin, he told them your names. I get the point. Your names are written in heaven. Because you believed. When you understand it, depression doesn't hold you down. If you know the weight of what has happened. So don't you feel bad at times? I do. You know, some people look at us, you don't have problem. It's not true. We do. I feel down at times. But when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my very soul will shout hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. When I think about it, glory to God. God has saved me. So we do that. Look at, you know, whenever you got first Psalm, okay, Isaiah chapter 12, I think verse 2. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Verse 2 and 3. Glory to God. He said, behold, God is my salvation. Is God your salvation? I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Verse 3. Therefore, with joy shall we draw out water of the wells of salvation. As we begin to reap the benefit of redemption, we do it with joy. We do it laughing. Glory to God. Glory to God. So when you laugh in the Holy Ghost, it shows you understand. Let me share something powerful with you. Do you know that rejoicing is not just what we do on earth? God himself used to rejoice. God. Zephaniah 3:17. I know you've not read it in a very long while. Just open it now. Zephaniah. Do you know where Zephaniah is? Please take it off from the screen. Open Zephaniah in your Bible. Have you seen it? Look for it too. Just after Ephesians, you will see it immediately after Ephesians. Okay, let me see. If you have seen it, read together. You see, you open it. You think I'm joking? Open Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Okay, you've seen it. Put it back on the screen. Hallelujah. Zephaniah 3, 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God rejoices over me. You know, if God looks at the believer, he rejoices. I bring joy to God though. He will joy, he will rejoice over thee with, in a light way, King James talks, he will rejoice over you with joy. That sounds like theology. The Lord will rejoice over me with joy. He will rejoice over me with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over me with singing. Because the Lord looks at me and he begins to sing. He's joying over me. He's rejoicing over me. Me! You are that important. You know the way Jesus would put it, he said that there is joy in heaven over one. If one sinner repents or comes to Christ and heaven is happy, think of what heaven does when they see the saints. That's why I tell you, heaven is not a moody place, it's a joyful place. Very joyful. The Lord joys over me with singing. Probably like amplifier of this. I love this scripture. It blessed me last month. Bless me last month so much. The Lord your God is in the midst of you, a mighty one, a savior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in silent satisfaction, and his love, he will be silent and make no mention of past sins or even recall them. Praise God. So when the Lord looks at you, he sees like there is no sin. He doesn't even recall the sins. So he's rejoicing over you. Look at what he says. He will exalt over you with singing. God sings over me. Hallelujah. God rejoices over me with joy. So if God rejoices, I will rejoice. So if God rejoices when he thinks of who I am, when I think of who I am, me too will rejoice. So God thinks that this guy is righteous. He's happy. He will rejoice over me. He rejoices over me. He rejoices over me with joy. Glory. Ha ha ha. God rejoices over me. You see, rejoicing is a spirit. Listen, joy is serious business in heaven. You don't know. In heaven, how they get serious is to laugh. And I showed you yesterday, I will close with that today when we get there. When there is a serious matter, why do the heathens rage and the priests of earth imagine a venting? That was a serious matter. He said, he that is dead in heaven, he laugh. No, think about that. There's a serious business. They are trying to kill. Just like you have a son and they are conspiring against him, conspiring. They've mobilized whatever. And then they tell you. You even see the conspiracy. You now start laughing. That's a serious moment. But we don't respond to serious things like every other person. When it's so serious, we start laughing. What nonsense. See, you are not, you don't know how serious this thing is. I know. The more serious it gets, the more I laugh. The Lord rejoices over me. Sit up for a moment. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10 verse 17. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the disciples are subject, even the devils rather, are subject unto us in thy name. Okay, or through thy name, okay? And he said unto them, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven, okay? Fall from heaven as lightning. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now to be standing in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are written unto you, but rather rejoice. Why? Now verse 21, look at what happens. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. Why did he rejoice? He said, I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. So he was rejoicing over the disciples. Amen? I didn't get the point. He was thanking God for them and rejoicing. God is joyful over me. He rejoices over me with joy. Let's see that Psalm 2 that I mentioned. Psalm 2 verse 1. Psalm 2 verse 1. Why do the heathens rage and the priests of the earth And the people imagine a vain thing? Glory to God. Verse 3. Let's go. The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord, his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their curse from us. What will God do? He that seated in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. So when there is a serious business, when they were planning to kill Jesus and doing whatever, God was laughing. So God himself used to laugh. You understand? And let me steal this moment to say, the next time something comes up against you, start laughing. Yeah, I'm getting to that dimension now. Start laughing. When something becomes, and I will tell you, it can change everything. Apart from the fact that joy is a way we express what we have in Christ and all that, there is still more. It rots for us. When you laugh when there is problem, there is victory in that laugh. I didn't get a point. I've practiced it a lot. If you are close to me, that sometimes when you call me for a very serious issue, after you finish talking, I say, let's laugh first. And sometimes they feel like I'm not in the mood. That's why I'm here. I'm your mood. I'll put you in the mood. You just have to laugh. And the reason why some people have an issue, it says, I failed an exam. And then, thoughts of death are just coming to mind. Let me tell you something. I can never think of dying. I can't think of killing myself. And I speak to you by the Spirit. Some of the tough times you're having now, hear this and write it down, don't forget it. Some of the tough times that you're having now might look so tough and impossible. In the next 5 years, you will thank God they happened. Don't forget it. I have people who failed exams, failed out of medical schools, and they almost died 6 years after, 5 years after. They're telling me the best thing that happened to me was leaving the medical school. And I'm not pretending, because their life is way better now. Now, I'm not saying you should celebrate failure, but I'm saying some, when some bad things happen to you, it's not time to get yourself down. When they imagine venting, start laughing. He says, sir, what if I'm laughing and I don't feel it? Sometimes you're even laughing and crying. Because the emotion is tears, but the reality is joy. So you let the reality override the emotion. Do you think what I'm talking about? The reality inside of me is joy. The emotion is sorrow. So you just start laughing. Imagine you are Jesus. And then they're trying to kill you. And you walk into your father's room. You find him laughing. You're going to say you conspire. You are the what? You are the. I tell you, friends, and I wind up from here. I've seen myself laugh my way out of certain things. One of the things that the Jesus will do for you, look at that, go back to Luke 10:21. One of the things the Jesus will do for you when you begin to laugh like that is that it will give birth to words, rejoicing Beth's interpretation. you know about tongues and interpretation. There is rejoicing, and because every voice, joy, sound you make has a meaning. In that hour, Jesus rest in the Spirit. Notice what happened. And said, so let's paint the picture. Jesus laughed and laughed, and then words began to pour. That's why you notice you can be in tough times and you laugh so much, and you now begin to get, has it happened to you before? You just laugh and laugh and laugh and say, this will happen. Or victory is won. What happens is that your laughter has worked victory for you. You get the point? Jesus rejoiced and said, next time there is a problem, shut your door. You know, I keep telling you like this, start laughing. I want to encourage you, whether there is a problem or not, have rejoicing sessions. The same chapter that said, pray without ceasing. Pray, that's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. The instruction before it in verse 16 is what? Rejoice evermore. So sometimes have laughter sessions in your house. I'm telling you, say, why, what's funny? Jesus rose from the dead. And I tell you what I practice. I just stay, hey! And rise there. What will begin to happen? What will begin to rise? It's not, remember I said, it's not like what you did for 30 seconds. Just stay there. Laugh. Fall on the floor. Roll. Spin. Joy. It will bet words. Rejoices have interpretation. Sometimes I hear people shout and the Holy Ghost will say, that shout, a healing just occurred. Praise God. Meeting we had last day, some of you were there. That was James Foundation meeting. Rally this summit. Some of you were there, right? Some of you were there. That night, the Lord said, they're just going to laugh. You remember? People were there sick. And I said, what we're going to do is, I'm just going to come to you and laugh. And you laugh back. That was it. Praise God. So what I just get to say, I say, and you say, and you're fine. Even Satan is disturbed by our rejoicing. No, how can you do so much to a man and he's laughing? You do so much to a man and he's laughing. You hit him down. Take away his this. Take away that. You now sneak back to see him crying. The guy is running up and down. Glory! That's why when you start, the first thing you start hearing in your heart is, you know you are pretending. You know you don't mean it. He's trying to get you out of the... I get the point. What do you do? Stay there look, some more. Hey, 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 hey. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Woo! Glory to God. You got to tell the devil, you cannot steal my joy. Hey, he said you shall have joy that no man can take from you. You cannot steal my joy. You cannot steal my joy. You can tamper with my money, but you cannot steal my joy. You can tamper with my health, but you cannot steal my joy. You can tamper with my studies, but you cannot steal my joy. You cannot steal my joy. I have joy in the Holy Ghost. Glory. Hi-ya-ya. He said you will have joy that no man can steal from you. You can't steal my joy. And something is being worked out as you are laughing. Something is being worked out as you are laughing. As you are screaming. Something is being worked out. Words are flowing. Words are pouring. Words are pouring. Words are pouring. Yes! Whoosh! Yeah. Sit down for a moment. Sit down for a moment. I have 10 minutes. Okay. 10 minutes. 9 minutes now. Words are flowing. As you begin to scream like that, you notice things begin to rise. Do it for 5 minutes. Do it for 10 minutes. Things are rising in your heart. Things are rising in your heart. Suddenly, what was not possible begin to look possible to you. I'm telling you. It just begins to look possible. And because that this thing can really work. Oh, you are still laughing. You are still laughing. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, when this meeting was approaching, some of you that are involved, with all the challenges that were coming up, this, that, I will just get into my room. I will laugh. After I finish laughing, God will say, you must hold the meeting. Fine. Glory to God. So Jesus laughed and said, as you begin to laugh, words are beginning to flow. Amen. I give you another example. Paul and Silas, they got into the prison. They began to sing. Who sings in prison? And to tell you that rejoicing will work something out, the prison doors opened. I don't get the point. They were just, they were singing. Imagine them singing, thank you, Father. They were just singing, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for saving my soul. The Bible said they were singing so loud that the prisoners heard them. So they were not singing in their hearts. Do you get the point? They were vocal about it, just singing, singing. And boom. The prison was open. Do you know, when it opened, their chains broke. But they didn't leave. You see, rejoicing can take that chain off your hand. Do you know why? Sometimes, what is holding you down is a mirage. You just need to rejoice your way out of it. Stop telling you, sometimes what is keeping you down does not exist. But with rejoicing, you can run through it. You can run through it. You rejoice so much that you begin to see the way. And some other times you rejoice so much that you have not even seen the way. But then suddenly, you are just calm. Has happened to you before? You're just calm. You say, what's happening? You say, I don't know. You say, how is this going to be? You say, I really don't know. You say, well, I just did. And sometimes, if you are close to me, you think I'm not serious with life. Because things can be going so wrong. And I'm just calm. The Bible calls it peace that passeth all under. You can't comprehend it. Why is he calm? Look at what the devil does. He causes the mess every time. He is coming to peep to see how you are reacting. Is she crying yet? The next time he comes to peep, he will find you laughing. I'm telling you. He will come in and peep again. I say, why is he laughing? Imagine if you were the guy that arrested Paul and Silas and put them in prison, and then you come in, they're singing. And they're not singing, na putam chineke. No, no. They were not singing. They were just singing. Happy. What is fun? Do you know the book of Philippians? I've said this a couple of times. The book of Philippians is the book that contains the highest number of the word rejoice. Philippians. Read it. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice. All over the book. Amazingly. That's where he said, rejoice. Again, I say unto you. But that book was written from the prison yard. Who writes from the prison? And he's talking about joy. Who writes from the prison? And he's talking about rejoice. Rejoice. You see, let me say this to you. And this for someone. You've cried too much about your family. It's time to start rejoicing about it. You get the point? You've cried too much. It's okay. Rejoice about it now. Give thanks. You know, we don't give thanks for the situation. We don't give thanks for the bad situation. But we can give thanks in the bad situation. You get the point? What it means is that that's not what is happening. We are grateful and giving thanks. I'll give you two more scriptures, then we'll close. Have you been blessed? Joshua chapter 6, verse 12. Two more. Just this and one more. Joshua 6, verse 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of rams, horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the handmen went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and the blowing with the trumpets, okay? And the second day, they compassed the city once and they returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. You know the story. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are daring to the Lord. Only Rahab and Lehi shall live. So Joshua gave a prophecy that this city shall be taken. Only Rahab will live. Verse 18. Verse 18. And ye in any wise yourself, you know, after talking, verse 19. Verse 19. Verse 20. I'm just okay. So about 20. So the people, so from verse that, all the verses we skipped, he was giving prophecies, instructing them, the Lord will give you the city. You know, when they finished prophesying, how was that prophecy going to get activated? Huh? Shout. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the prophet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. You see, this I've known this story from when I was a child. But recently the Lord began to talk to me about it. He said, do you realize they didn't pray? They just came to the wall and shouted at the wall, and they fell down. Shout of joy can rot things for you. The next time the wall is before you, let me tell you, when there is an impossible situation, you shall know that you don't know what to do again. Walk around it and scream. Scream. In shouting for joy, that wall is going to collapse. Because what was in the shout? The shout, there was victory in the shout. Listen, what was in the shout? What was contained in that shout were all the words that Joshua spoke. Do you get the point? So the shout contained those prophecies. So when they shouted, they let it happen. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to scream. Your joy can rot something for you. Your joy can turn the situation around. And I sense the Lord saying this morning, whatever miracle you're expecting this morning, you are going to rejoice our way into them. Jesus has risen. And we rejoice. But as we are rejoicing because he has risen, we are rejoicing our way into every mess. Into every solution, sorry. Or out of every mess. We are rejoicing our way out of every mess into the solution. Yeah. There's a sickness in your body. There is a pain in your body. Sometimes all the Lord will have you do is just to shout. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, I was talking about the workings of faith. If you have that, if you can get that teaching, get it. Whenever you're about to work something out by faith, the first thing that you notice is contradictions will rise. If you're going to pray for somebody that is sick, the first thing you notice, the sickness will worsen. You've been praying, it will worsen. What the devil is trying to do is trying to use your contradictions, those contradictions to keep you down. Jesus was going to Jairus, to that man's house, to pray for the daughter. And they came and told him, don't come again. The person has died. But notice what Jesus did. He didn't move. The next time there are contradictions to what you are trusting God for, it's time to release some joy. It's not time to stop. You notice what Jesus will do. Whenever such things happen, just release one spiritual emotion. In the case of the sea, when he began to shake, he went and started sleeping. That's peace right there. Hallelujah. He that sits in heaven will laugh. And you can laugh, you can shout, you can scream, you can rejoice your way out of every mess. Out of every mess. Psalm 126 verse 1. Hey. The Lord will turn it. That's what I heard. When the Lord turned again, the captives of Zion, we are like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. I don't know if you know it, but God has turned it. Oh, you didn't hear that. I don't know if you know it, but God has turned it. Now, when you hear that God has turned it, obey the Bible. When the Lord does great things for them, when he does it, our mouths shall be filled with what? Ha, 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 ha. So, let's try it again. I said, the Lord has turned it. The Lord has turned it. He 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 has turned it. And as you are rejoicing, those prophecies have been delivered to your hands now. Yeah. Those things the Lord has said, you have them now. The Lord has turned it. The Lord has turned it. Hallelujah. The Lord has done great things for us. My mouth is filled with laughter. My mouth is filled with laughter. My mouth is filled with laughter. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my very soul shall sing hallelujah. Praise God for saving me. Glory. The Lord has done it for me. Yeah. I'm not a sanguine. I'm not a choleric. I'm not a melancholy. I'm not phlegmatic. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Hey! I am full of the Holy Ghost. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for me. He has done great. great things for me. He has done great things for me. Hey. Hey. He has done great things for me. Listen. If you're having a result issue, laugh. You have a result issue, laugh. You have a result issue, laugh. You have a health challenge, laugh. Yeah. Listen. I heard the Lord say to me, He said, the harassment is over. And whatsoever that has harassed you in the past, whatsoever that has harassed you in the past, you are laughing your way out of it. 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 Listen. Listen. Yesterday, I was talking to some of our people after the meeting yesterday. And in that conversation, the Lord gave me an instruction. There are a lot of guys here that are under pressure. Pressure. Financial pressure. And you are even being tempted to compromise. Lift your two hands. I want to pray for you. But you think I'm going to pray? Lift your two hands. Lift your two hands. Oh yeah, laugh. 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 Listen. Listen. Count it. Count it, the month of April. 10 good news. 10. Count it. Count it. Count it. Glory. Glory. 10.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.